Amen. Let's open our Bibles today to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. And we're going to look today at the topic of being saved for service. You know, there's a more to life in the Christian walk after we're saved. A lot of people, and we've talked about this just a little bit from time to time, that once you come in to a relationship with Jesus Christ and you're saved from hell, sometimes we feel that that's all there is and that God has a better plan for us because He has more for us to do in this life that we live down here. And as we do this Christian walk, we know that God has good things for us. So each of us in the body of Christ has been called to perform a function. And we're going to look at that a little bit today. So Ephesians 4, 11 to 13 says, "And He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors, and some as teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ." Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much for the great and awesome gifts that You've given us to the body of Christ. And Lord, we know that each of us have a gift. And Lord, it's up to us to be able to find that gift out. And Lord, to be able to draw it out like we draw water from a well. Lord, help us to receive from You today. I take authority over all the disturbances that have come this day to try to distract us and deter what it is You want to do in this service. And Lord, I thank You. I yield to the gift You've given me. I use it for Your glory. I pray that for words that pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Now, being saved from hell is only our first step in God's plan. When I first was coming to Christ, I thought that was a major hurdle in my life, something that was really a great accomplishment, and that it is. I'm not demeaning that in any way, shape, or form, because it is a very important step, because without that step, there really are no other steps, right? As far as in the walk with God. Because you're not even in the game yet. You're not even a part of God's plan yet, because you're separated from Christ due to the sin of Adam. Now, as we make that first step, that big step, to get into a relationship with God, it gets us in that door, and I equate it like a marriage ceremony. You know, a marriage ceremony is good because what it does, it ties the knot, amen? Gets that old knot tied. And what would happen in our relationship if you lived different lives as man and woman after you got married? You know, you just kind of went your ways. After you say, "I do," the bride goes, she's on this side, she goes out that door. And the groom, he goes out that door. And they never really have anything to do with each other after that ceremony. What kind of relationship would that be? Wouldn't be very good, would it? It takes time, spending time with each other, to be able to build that relationship, to make it stronger. And that's what we do as we start to experience God in a deeper way. Because as you're married, as you live with each other, you rub off on each other. You irritate each other. I know we irritate God, And sometimes somebody say, "God irritates me," because He, has different ways than I have. But through that process, God is molding us and making us into the people that He wants us to be. Because we were saved out of something, and that was a life of disappointment and destruction. Now, granted, I went out and did things in the world, and yeah, I thought they were fun, but in the end, I was always missing something. I was always disappointed. I always felt like my life was being destroyed because I never really had the relationship with God, that I knew I needed to have. And what He did is He saved me into something, and what that is, it's an exciting and it's a loving relationship with our Heavenly Father. You know, once I received the revelation that God is not mad at me, God does not try to make me do things that aren't fun all the time, that He really has good things for me in store, it changed my whole perspective of really what God is all about, because I grew up with a lot of misunderstandings about God and what all that played in. And thank God for the Bible. And, I went and bought a Bible and I started to read it. And, I didn't understand it until I got born again. But when I got born again, then things started to click. And I started to see the big picture of really what God had in store for me. And I thank God he led me to some good people that took me under their wing and befriended me and encouraged me to get into the ministry, you know, and to do things for God. And, you know, that was exciting. Now, the goal for us in our walk with God after we got saved is growth. We need to grow. Because a lot of times people don't grow. Have you ever had somebody, now I've had this told to me, now you probably haven't, but why don't you just grow up? Have you ever heard that? I've heard it multiple times in my life. You know, maybe I was doing something stupid, you know, messing with my sisters or irritating, you know, somebody or my parents or whatever the case may be. And all these things come in and it kind of puts things in perspective, because you don't say that to a baby, do you? If you had a little baby in your arms, why don't you just grow up? No, you say that to somebody that is, I thought something was going on back there. Everybody's looking up there. Oh, I forgot we had the slides. No, but, you know, the idea of being able to start the mature process. Now, as a baby grows, how many know as they get older, we count off the birthdays? You know, 1, 2, 3, whatever. Keep going. But, you know, some kids just don't grow up. Right? They're still a little bit immature. So that kind of tells me something, is the fact that, you know, we need to know that we need to start to grow up in the things that help us to function in life. And maturity is not really measured by years or time. A lot of people say, well, bless God, I've been saved for 20 years. You know, never done a thing since they've been saved. Never got off the pew. Never have reached out to help anybody. You know, never have been involved in the things of God. And then somebody comes in and walks in the door and comes up and gets saved and starts to get involved with things around the church and serving people, serving God. And about a year later, they're promoted up to a position of doing things. And this person sitting there for 20 years says, well, who do they think they are? Getting up there and serving God like that. I've been here for 20 years. And they're still, why don't you just grow up? Right? Because they've never made the step of the process, because life sometimes is a process. It's a process of getting involved and doing things, and that's how we learn things. How many's got a pool up going if I'm going to trip over those steps today? Amen? You guys should have put some money in a pot, you know, and say, I bet he makes it through 5 minutes. And then, you know, anyway, we have those set there for the Christmas program. Now, what helps us to grow, whether we want to accept it or not? God has given gifts to the body of Christ. Now, you and I each have different giftings, and we all have a gift. And some of those gifts differ. Now, God gave the fivefold ministry, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher, to the body of Christ to help us to grow. Now, what happens is that we need to see the fivefold ministry as a blessing and not a curse, because sometimes the ministry gifts can irritate us. Because what happens is sometimes they step on our toes. When somebody says something, maybe we have wrong thinking or wrong actions going on in our life, and then a preacher gets up there and starts preaching on it, and then all of a sudden we get mad because they're touching my stuff, man. They're making me feel like I'm, you know, not as good as I thought I was. But see, there's a reason for that, because sometimes we need to let go of things before we can really hang on to the things that God has it. Now, one thing we have to know is that the Holy Spirit will confirm it in our spirits if that's what's going on. Now, there's some preachers who are just downright rude. You know what I mean? They make us feel like dirt, and God will never make us feel like dirt. No, God made you out of dirt, but then he made you into a person when he started with Adam, right? That's God's plan for him. He breathed life into him. So we're not dirt to God. God has a plan for our life, and we need to know that. So not everything spoken, you know, we need to make sure that we sort it out. Now, what happens when you and I decide to receive from a gift? You know, remember, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, pastor, teacher. Those are gifts. Now, you have to choose to receive. Just like today, I don't know if you ever thought about this about me, but I'm a gift to you. I'm a gift from God to you today. Amen. Now, a lot of people just say, whatever. You know, let's see what you got today, bud. You know, You know, that attitude. You know? And God doesn't want us to have that attitude. Now, what I do when I go to a service, you know, I mentally put myself in position to receive, saying, God, I want from that gift. You know, because I'm not looking to the person. I'm looking to the gift inside of them, that anointing that's on their life to help to perfect me, to give me something that I need. And as I decide to open it, now if I held out $20, I know you guys would all run up here probably. But let's say I did hold out $20, and I said, here, this is a gift for you, but you never reached out and took it. It's yours, but you wouldn't take it, right? You didn't take it, so it's not really yours. You have to reach out, and you have to take it. And you have to receive it for yourself. And as God does that, then you start to unwrap that gift and you start to receive it inside of you, and then you start to see what God's going to do. Now, the word equipping is what the scripture says that the fivefold ministry does. They equip us. And what that means, that word, it says to make fully ready, perfection or completion, to make someone completely adequate or sufficient for something. Also like setting a bone that is out of joint. So, this is how it works. As you receive from the gift that's inside of me, it helps to perfect you as it equips you. As we did the prayer over our teacher last week, we don't just grab somebody out of the congregation and throw them in a classroom. No, we give them some training. We want them to succeed, so we train them. We show them some things that, you know, needs to be done. And then after they do that, then we let them come in and train, and then they maybe do some teaching with one of our older teachers in there that's been there and kind of watch them to help them. We try to help them along, so it's a great experience for them working with the kids. And it's like that in anything. When we do ushers training or things like this, we just don't throw you into something and not have you be aware. So what it is, we want you to be completely adequate or sufficient for something, because God wants us all to do something. God's never called us each to do everything, right? We couldn't do everything that's needed in the body of Christ, but God has called us each to do something. Now, the Message Bible says to train Christ's followers in skilled servant work. Now, a lot of people think when they serve God, yeah, you know, it's just, you know, it's no big deal. You know what I mean? You know, I'm just ushering. I'm just, you know, passing the old bucket. And Lord knows I don't want to be the center usher. Oh, no. Because that person has to go up and pray. But I'll do the sides. That's good enough for me. Now, if you have that attitude, you're never going to receive from God. I kid you not, people. When I was an usher, when I started out serving Jesus Christ, I started as an usher. And you couldn't tell me that wasn't a ministry unto the Lord. Because I wasn't sanctified then. I might have punched you out if you told me I wasn't doing something good for God. Because I knew what I was doing. I loved Jesus Christ, and I wanted to serve His body. And as I did that, God blessed me. And I started to mature and I started to grow. And things in the kingdom started to rub off on me. Because as you start to take things in, there comes a time in our life when we start to have to put out a little bit. Because we get full. And God wants us to step out and start to utilize these things. Because we're all a part of the body of Christ. Now, the body of Christ, when we say that, can mean two different things. The macro. The macro is the universal body of Christ. That's all the Christians on the earth today, and that we're part of God's body, and we're a universal group. Now, the other way we need to look at it, what makes it a little more practical, is the micro. And that's talking about part of the local body of Christ. Every Christian needs to be a part of a local body. You know, those Christians that just stay home and watch TV or get it off the internet are totally missing out. They're missing out on everything that God intended in the beginning. Getting people to rub off on each other. Iron sharpens iron. People doing stuff together. That's how we grow. And that's how we start to be able to mature and to start to learn things, you know, in the body of Christ. And, you know, just like a physical body, all our parts are necessary. Now, some of us may think we smell like a foot. All right? Maybe you have a bad self-image. But how many knows you kind of need your foot every now and then? Or how many know that we need our arm, and God knows we need our brain, amen? You know, we all need the different parts of the body. And when we're missing them, then that makes it difficult. Now, I feel that some Christians think that they're an appendix. Have you guys ever been told that, you don't really need your appendix? I had mine out when I was about 30. I waited too late. I waited till it ruptured because I was busy, you know what I mean? You know, I was too busy to go to the doctor till Friday, and then I went out there, and no doctors were around. We had to drive ourselves to another town, and, you know, make a long story short, you know, it turned into, is a ruptured appendix. So, you need to listen to your body a little bit. That's what I learned. But, you know, we used to, you don't really need your appendix. You know, they found out recently that the appendix is kind of important because, truth is, now they believe that the appendix helps our immune system fighting the problems in our GI tract. So that thing that they used to think wasn't important, it really was. God didn't put it there and not be important. You know, so maybe you feel like an appendix. I want to tell you today, you're important. You're just as important as anybody else in the body of Christ. And we need to change the way that we look at each other. And we're going to go over that here in a minute. Now, the ministry, what is ministry? You know, ministry is just talking about serving. You know, ministry mentions the idea of service rendered to benefit others. Others, not udders. That's on a cow, right? So, I'm from southern Iowa. Sometimes I talk fast and I get in trouble. Anyway, so, we do things to benefit others. So, back to my usher analogy. When I was ushering, when I was serving people, maybe showing them, you know, where the seat was, where they could sit and welcoming them and greeting them, doing all these things, I was serving other people. You know, I'll tell you, I challenge you to think about this for a minute. Which feels better to you, when you're being served or when you're serving others? I don't know. I feel better when I'm serving others. I just enjoy that feeling of being a blessing to somebody. And that's really what makes it exciting. Now, this is not a trick question. It is. A little. Who is the minister in the local church? You know, what are you looking at me like that for? You say the pastor? I say the pastor's wife. Pastor's wife has to do everything the pastor don't want to do, right? That's how it works. A lot of churches. That's not how it's supposed to be. The Bible says that you are the ministers. All I am is the administer. Is that I'm the facilitator. I'm to help train you and to perfect you to do the work of the ministry. That way, all the body is involved. Now, that doesn't mean I quit serving. I still clean the toilets around here from time to time and do whatever needs to be done. You know, that's just the way it needs to be. But for the most part, the body of Christ, the people in the local church, are the ones who do the work of the ministry. And that's what makes a church strong, because that's what makes the body strong. Have you ever been injured before? And let's say you pulled a muscle in your leg, and so you're just, you don't use your leg for a while. What happens to that muscles? They grow weak. You can't use them. Same with your hand. Maybe you got your arm in a sling for a while, and maybe for 6 months or something. You got hurt, and then you take it out, and that hand, you just can't do with it what you used to do. That's because it's grown weak from lack of service. The reason why the body of Christ is weak is from lack of service. If you want to be strong, maybe you've prayed that prayer, God, make me strong in the Lord. Lord, I want to be a fireball for you. God, I want to serve you. I want to do whatever you want me to do. And God tells you to do something. Lord, I don't want to do that. You know, that ain't really what I had in mind. You know, once you make me a list and I'll pick, you know, what I can do. But that's not really how it works. You know, God wants us to be able to be involved because it takes a little time. You know, we're bodybuilders. Some of you work out, some of you don't. Some of you work out in different ways. You know, I know Scott, he likes lifting a lot of weights, you know, and I don't really like that. Because I'm trying to lose weight, not gain muscle. You know what I mean? My shirts, you know, I don't want everything to fit. But building, you know, we got to look at it. It's a process that we're continually building ourselves up. And see, it's not like, you know, just like anything. You know, if you got married and men, if you told your wife, I told her I loved her once. If I change my mind, I'll let her know. How's that go? Doesn't go over very well, does it? No, you have to continually tell them that you love them every now and then. I don't understand it either, guys. But that's just the way it is. Deal with it, right? You know, if you want to live a peaceful and happy life. But see, building is a process. We are continually being built up. It's not something we just usher. Hey, I ushered once. Whew, I'm covered, man. I'm good to go. I can't wait till those dancing through those pearly gates, man. You know, I got my usher badge. I didn't turn it in when I was done either. I kept it, you know. I'm going to keep that for, you know, something special. No, it's a process. We continually, as we're learning, as we're growing in Christ and doing what He wants us to do, then we start to change, and God starts to do some things in our life. Now, as you're bodybuilding, it infers, as you use it, you'll be made stronger. It infers kind of the idea of being edified. Now, you guys like to be edified, don't you? Kind of pumped up. You know, I don't know about you. I enjoy that from time to time, although I kind of like to keep a low key. Yeah, I wish Jason was in here right now. I'd have him come up. Maybe I'll have Scarlett fill in for him, but she may not want to. You ever been here at sports camp when he does the Attaway? Yeah. You know, I wonder what would happen if we say, Attaway, ushers. You know, do that for them. Hey, ushers. How's it, you know? What goes next?
Go, ushers.
Go, ushers. There you go. You've heard it. Attaway, Attaway, you know. You know, we do that for the ushers when they come in. And then the teachers walk through. Hey, teachers. You know, and you get them all fired up because they're building up the body. And you say the same thing for the worship leaders. And then I don't know about you, but I like a personal attaway for the people that tithe, praise God. You know, as a pastor, I enjoy that because now we can pay the bills. You know, we can pay off the bank. You know, they keep drawing it out of our account whether we want them to or not. You know, we have it set up for auto withdrawal. So we all have stuff that we're excited for. And I'm excited that each of these people have been involved in the body of Christ, in building up the body, making it stronger, reaching out to a lost and dying world. So how do we apply these things in our life? What do we do? Well, number one, we need to change the way we look at ourselves. Because we need to see ourselves as a saint or a holy one. Did you know that God calls you saints? You don't have to die and do some big miracle to be a saint in this house. All you have to do is to be a Christian. He calls you a saint. He calls you the Greek word I think is hagios. He's called you out from the world. And you're separated and you're sanctified and you're part of His family. Because we couldn't live with God if we weren't holy. Now, I mean that in the sense of legally. We know that we all make mistakes, right? You're not perfect, right? I'm not perfect. We know that part. But as far as a legal term, God sees us that way. And from my perspective, I married up. You know what I mean? I married up with my wife, and I definitely married up when I came into the body of Christ. I'm not real fond of being called the bride, but hey, I'm dealing with it. Amen? You know, Jesus is the bridegroom. I'm the bride. Next, we need to see that we're important to God's plan. You're important. Just as your foot or your hand or these parts of your body is important because if they're not functioning, then, you know, things don't go well. It's like that, you know, in the giftings and the talents that God has put inside of you. You know, you're important to God. You know, God, I know He could have done it on His own, but He chose to do it through us. And there's a reason for that. He wants us to be a part of it. How many have sat at something, maybe a function, and you just sat there and watched everybody, and then maybe you got up and you got involved and you started to be a part of what they were doing? Which one made you feel that you're really doing something? The time when you got involved. The more we get involved with God, the stronger we're going to feel, the better we're going to feel about ourselves in the kingdom of God, because then we're going to start to understand, you know, just what a plan God has for each and every one of us. Next, it's sequential. And here's how it works. Number one, you need to be equipped, because equipping causes us to serve, and when we serve, it causes the body of Christ to be built up or edified. So that's the process. So when you come, you say, God, I want what You have today. I see the gift there, and I want to receive from that gift. And as I receive from that gift, I start to tap in to what, you know, God has for my life. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts to talk to me. He's talking to me during the message, maybe telling me things. That's why you need to write him down. Write down what God's telling you. Put them on your phone, your iPad, on a piece of paper. You know, the shortest pencil's better than the longest memory, right? We've all went over that before. You won't remember it. Now, there is a scripture, if you're good at it, you can quote John 14:26, saying God's going to bring all things to our remembrance by the Holy Spirit. But, nevertheless, I found it's still safer to write it down if it's something you want to remember. Next, we have to see the idea, it's not me, but we. Many times we tend to overestimate what we can do by ourselves and underestimate what we can do as a group. I know sometimes it's easier to do it yourself. Maybe you're a mom here today and you got little kids and they're wanting to help you bake a cake. And you only got 10 minutes. You know what I mean? Pressure's on. Yes, it is faster, but it's more fun to do it with someone else. You're gonna enjoy that. So we find our place, you know, by getting involved. And there's trial and error. Try things. And you got to have that servant attitude. You know, what needs done? As I mentioned, I started out ushering. Then I went to teaching little kids. I taught adults. I did street evangelism. You know, I went on mission trips. You know, whatever it was, I felt God leading me to do. I started to flow with that. And I started to learn things about God. Because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but you're never really going to know the depths of God until you start to be involved and start to do things. Because that's when you start to experience that anointing. That anointing shows up every time, man. I love it. Because I know what I can do by myself, and it falls way short of what God can do through me. But I only find that out when I step out in faith and start to follow God's plan. Let's pray.